was that of the offenders that he sentences for crimes against people, which included burglaries and robberies and assaults, I believe he said 80% of them had been through the jail at least one time before that for a lower-level crime, and that they were always associated with some type of drug or alcohol. And his point was, if we could get in and catch them that first time and get them into treatment, we prevent crimes the second time that are much more, in many cases, heinous and much more violent. And of course, I thought about what we were going to vote on today, because that is precisely what this does. That is precisely what this program does. And it catches people that are in jail, lets them sober up, and then gives them a chance to get into treatment, and then avoids future crimes against our citizenry. Commissioner Adams, I wished I had thought of this. I didn't. This is a remarkable idea that started with Officer Jeff Myers and me walking around with him. All I've been is a conduit of his very active mind in getting these initiatives here before the council. And I am very pleased of the partnership that the council has exhibited with the Police Bureau and the leadership of the Police Bureau. Although Jeff came up with these ideas, he's had these ideas for a long time, and they weren't always in favor either with who the then mayor was or the then police chief. And it is only with this mayor and this police chief that we've actually had the opportunity to have this creative discussion, collaboration between Mayor Potter, myself, the Police Bureau, and street officers. And the result has been fabulous. And I can't speak highly enough of the great work that our police officers are doing if we let them do what they want to do and if we support them. And that's what this really is more than anything, is the council supporting the ideas of the frontline street officers. Sergeant Matt Ingen, of course, is a big part of that. And us listening to them and giving them the things they need to succeed. So I really appreciate the support of the entire council, but particularly Mayor Potter. This would not happen without his support. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, notwithstanding my concerns about the proper use of contingency and the concerns I think that have been allayed about compliance with equal benefits ordinance and equal opportunity ordinances by the contractor, I will support this because it is obviously something we do need, and it's certainly a meritorious investment. So please to vote aye.
Stan.
Thanks to Commissioner Leonard and Officer Myers and the team and all the other folks working out there. We're making huge progress both on chronic homelessness and something that looks the same, but I don't think is necessarily the same, which is chronic addiction, which may or may not be homeless, but is all kind of hitting Old Town as well as other places. And I just think that it's just such an exciting moment because we've realized that the only way you really deal with homelessness is to engage the greater community and get people relationships one by one. And the only way you get addicts to stop committing crime is to get them off their addiction, you know, and this is what this is all about. And, you know, not everything's perfect about this particular strategy. But it's a lot more perfect than what's out there right now. And so I'm delighted to see it. And thank you guys. Aye.
Potter.
Now, a few weeks ago, I was out at Join talking to some of the homeless people there, and one of the people that talked to me was a woman in her early 30s that had been the victim of domestic violence, and that she could not get into a shelter at the time to try to, and so Join actually put her up at a motel for a few nights, but it didn't solve the problem, and she was afraid of this individual that she'd been involved with. I think it's these things that tend to be swept under the rug and perhaps ignored or just not made aware of in the general public, but this is a real issue that we deal with. It's a real issue about drug addiction and the harm that it brings to people, and that not only does this reduce crime, but it actually helps human beings. And I am very, very pleased to support this. I appreciate Officer Myers, your work, and Commissioner Leonard, your spearheading all of this. This is how I think effective policing and effective treatment works in our community, is aligning those with the people who need it. And this certainly moves a long ways towards that. So thank you. I vote aye. Please read item 333.
Direct the city attorney to assume the duties of general counsel to the Portland Development Commission on or before July 1, 2008.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. Commissioner Stanton and I just concluded what can only be described as the really most intensive budget hearings that I've been aware of that have ever happened in the city around the Portland Development Commission, which couldn't be more opposite.
Perhaps in the state.
Perhaps in the state or the country, which could not be more opposite of what our collective experience had been heretofore. And I want to say that I was deeply impressed. I asked tough questions, as did Commissioner Sten, and the responses were always thorough, responsive, to the point, and accurate. And I, as a result, told the PDC that as opposed to prior years, I've actually questioned giving them $800,000 in general fund money for their economic development fund because of my concern of the lack of accountability and adequate benchmarks. That not only was I okay with that I would recommend to the mayor for his budget, along with Commissioner Sten, the full $5.2 million request they've made. So I hope that recommendation by us, and particularly by myself, in the context of some of the concerns I've raised over the last few years of the Portland Development Commission, indicates my confidence in how this organization has turned around under the leadership of the board and of Bruce, and has focused on what its mission is, and that is economic development. However, I want to make another point equally as clear. I think that the concern that I have and that others have expressed with respect to the legal advice from their department is not about who the people are. In fact, the people that are in the legal department at the Portland Development Commission are doing exactly what I would expect them to do under the current rules that they work under. They represent the executive director, Bruce Warner, and the Portland Development Commission. That is who their client is. So when the attorneys advised the PDC that the city auditor, Gary Blackmer, 2 years ago, did not have authority to audit their books, I didn't agree with that. I didn't like that. The citizenry didn't like that. Gary Auditor certainly didn't like that. But I understood then, as I understand now, they were simply advising the PDC what they thought the authority of the auditor was under the charter to audit their books. When the PDC, close to 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, refused to turn over documents to the city council that we'd requested as a result of our investigating the financial deal on the property owned by the PDC with Southwest Third and Oak, I was not happy. I was so unhappy that I filed an ordinance subpoenaing the documents. That advice to not turn those documents over to us was given to them by their attorney. I then, as I do now, never once thought that that was a problem with the attorney, but rather the structure of how PDC is constructed in the charter. So the way to resolve that is not, as some people have assumed, to replace the people that work there. They are not the problem. In fact, as I've said to Bruce and others, I would hire any of them myself to do personal work for me. I am impressed with the work they do. But their job is to represent their client, and that's what they're doing. So we, the council, have to make a decision if it's structured in a way that is healthy for the organization and the city, and I obviously have concluded that it has not. That notwithstanding what I would consider the historic cooperation that exists at this point, the apex of cooperation that exists at this point between at least this council and the current PDC, that having a structure where you have attorneys advising the PDC on a narrow view of the charter, that is just the provision that creates PDC, as opposed to broader city policy, broader city council goals, broader city council policies, distracts the PDC from their real work. Thus, you get into distracting arguments like whether or not the city auditor has the authority to audit the PDC. Who actually thinks that debate was healthy between the city council and the Portland Development Commission as to whether or not a public entity that gets hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer dollars cannot be audited by the elected city auditor? I don't think that was a healthy debate. Who actually thinks that it was a healthy debate as to whether or not this city council could look at financial documents having to do with the transaction of a publicly held piece of property on Southwest Third and Oak with a private developer. Who honestly thinks that the debate as to whether or not we should be able to look at those documents was healthy? I absolutely reject outright that argument. And that's the argument that has been made as of late. Some of these debates are healthy. They are not. They distract us from the function and the purpose of the PDC. As I've told this executive director and the chair, Mark Rosenbaum, I would be flabbergasted if in my remaining tenure here or their remaining tenure on the Development Commission we ever had these issues arise again. I will sit here and tell you on the record I am convinced they won't. Not in our tenure. But it is inevitable with the current structure in the charter the way it is, so that the PDC hires its own attorneys, that at some point in the future those conflicts have to happen again. Because if they're hiring competent attorneys, and they do, and those attorneys know who their clients are, and they do, they are going to object to other counsels in the future, for instance, to come in and audit their books, or for instance, to come in and ask for financial information on a particular deal that's going down. Once we make this change, I am convinced that the PDC will begin getting advice from their attorneys like we all enjoy today up here. There are a lot of things that the public never sees that I'd like to do that I get talked out of by our able city attorney, Linda Meng, who sits down and says, you need to think of what you're doing, Commissioner, in the context of the broader city charter, in the context of other ordinances in the city, of broader city policy. And frankly, I need that advice. The PDC does not benefit from that kind of advice. I would argue, and I think I have given two examples, where their advice is so narrow that it gets them into trouble that they do not need to get in. How did it serve PDC to have those two disputes with the council? It did not. It distracted us. It distracted them. According to the PDC, it created morale problems because of those conflicts within the PDC. With this change, I think we can move forward and have the same folks that are working there now, in the same seats they're at now, giving the same advice that they are today on a day-to-day basis, which are basically advices on how you construct deals, how we write contracts, how you do development agreements, those on a day-to-day basis, but done in the context of the broader city charter and the broader ordinances that are adopted by the entire city council, which does not occur today. So in many ways, that's a long way of me saying, I think this is really a minor technical change that really, I think, aligns the council and the PDC and their staff focused in the same direction, and that is doing the excellent work that the PDC is beginning to do, the excellent work that I think that we can look forward to in the future, and we can assure ourselves that we are not going to be at odds at any point in the future with people who actually are public employees who work for the same taxpayers that we do. So I urge the council to consider this resolution and to support it.
Do you have anybody to testify?
I do not.
I have some questions for the city attorney in regards to this resolution.
Morning.
Morning. I would like to ask you, does the PDC currently have the authority to hire their legal counsel?
I believe they do. The charter refers to the charter directs the city attorney's office to provide legal advice to the commission at their request, and it provides that they can hire special legal counsel. Through the history of the PDC, I went back and looked. It appears that except for 1 year in 1958, they have had separate legal counsel. That was done right after the charter was enacted, so I believe that it's probably a fair interpretation that they have authority to hire separate outside counsel.
If that's the case, does the city council have the power to require them to, or I should say, yeah, to the power to direct you to assume the responsibilities of the legal?
I think the council has the power to direct me. Our general advice, legal advice, has been that the council does not have direct authority to tell the PDC commission to take particular actions. The council does have a fair amount of leverage with the PDC commission in a number of areas. The council issues bonds. The council has ability to approve the PDC plans. The council now is the budget committee for PDC. So the council has various influences, shall I say, with PDC. Our general advice in the past has been that a direct order from the council to PDC is not necessarily something that they have to comply with as a legal matter.
So I just wanted to ask your opinion then on Section 15104 under administrative powers and procedures of the Charter of the City of Portland. Paragraph 2 says that the commission shall have authority to appoint, employ, and discharge such officers and employees and agents of the commission finds necessary. And then in Section 3, it refers to that the commission may obtain the advice, services, recommendations of any officer, board, or commission of the City of Portland and the city attorney, and the city attorney staff shall render legal assistance and advice as required by the commission. That seems to be fairly specific authority that is granted only to the Portland Development Commission.
They have separate authorities under the charter to hire employees and to make those hiring decisions that are separate from the council.
But I would point out, Mayor Potter, that you're looking at Section 15-104. The resolution also references Section 15-105, which is a new section, and says that the City Council shall be the budget committee for the commission and shall have the duties and responsibilities of a budget committee provided as provided by state law. That gives us, the council, the authority to decide what to fund and what not to fund. And the resolution, if adopted, would direct that the funds that the City Council allocates as the budget committee for the PDC only be used for the purposes of funding general counsel at PDC that works out of the city attorney's office. What it does not preclude, however, and I've made clear and I want to make clear on the record, is does not preclude the ability of the PDC to go and hire special counsel when, in their opinion, and solely their opinion, they think that they need special counsel. For instance, if there is a perceived conflict that at times the PDC has told me they think may exist if the city attorney's office is involved in a particular transaction, only they will decide at that point that they need special counsel. They don't need approval from us. They'll have separate budgeted authority by us, a contingency fund, that will allow them to go hire special counsel. So this change passed the voters last year, giving us budget approval, it meant that we get to decide what gets funded and what's not funded. And what this resolution basically says is, for purposes of a general counsel, we won't fund private counsel.
Well, unfortunately, the last paragraph of your resolution doesn't state what you just said. It said that further be resolved that the city attorney and director of the Portland Development Commission shall develop an agreement which outlines a selection process for legal staff assigned to PDC, as well as outline circumstances where it's appropriate for PDC to hire special legal counsel from outside the city. So that makes that a joint decision, not a decision solely at the basis of PDC.
That is not the intent of that language. The intent of that language is to codify exactly what I just said, and that is to make it clear in the resolution that we are not precluding the opportunity of the Portland Development Commission from hiring outside legal counsel, that in fact there are circumstances under which they'll need to. But obviously what I don't want to do is set up a paradigm where they then fall back on the ability to hire special counsel and exclusively use special counsel to replace general counsel. That's why that language is there, is to create a very clear distinction between general counsel that gives day-to-day advice and that support staff, which are other attorneys and clerical support, and the need and the requirement for special counsel, which I am entirely comfortable this language allows them to do, with the cooperation of our city attorney and with Bruce Warner sitting down and deciding under what circumstances they would need to do that. And I would also point out the resolution also specifically codifies what I've promised Bruce and the commission, and that is that they should jointly with the city attorney decide who their general counsel is. It should not be a unilateral decision made by the city attorney or the city council who their general counsel is. They should not have someone that they don't want, and they shouldn't have to keep somebody that they don't want. And I've made that very clear, and that's why the resolution says what it does.
Is this resolution enforceable?
Legally?
Legally.
Well, resolutions generally are not legally enforceable documents. Resolutions are generally documents that are give internal direction within the city or express the intent of the council. So as an ordinary matter, resolutions aren't legally enforceable.
But in this particular case, my strong sense, and Commissioner Leonard and I have discussed this, and we agreed to disagree, is that this is contrary to the city charter in terms of the authority that's granted the Portland Development Commission, which is different from the budgeting process. So my question is, under the circumstances, is this a document that can be used to require compliance from the Portland Development Commission?
I don't believe if the Portland Development, if nothing else happened, if there was no further action through the Budget Committee or some other action, I don't believe that if the Portland Development Commission refused to enter into agreement or refused to have the city attorney's office represent them, that the council could take legal action to enforce that based on this resolution.
The point of this is to withhold the funds allocated for an attorney. We could withhold the funds.
As I've said, the council has other authorities and influences over what PDC does. Some of them are political, some of them are financial. As a legal matter, I don't believe that this is something the city could take to court, for instance, and file a lawsuit and demand and require that PDC do this.
But if this passes, what this essentially says is we will not disperse funds for the use of hiring a general counsel that is a private general counsel. And we legally have the authority as a council, and in fact are required if we adopt this resolution as a council, to not allow our funds to be then used to hire counsel that is not working out of your office, general counsel.
Can I ask
I'm asking for your agreement.
That is what is expressed in this resolution, is that that's the intent of the council. Yes. Like, that's the way I understand it.
Right. Do you have any more? Go ahead.
To summarize, it's called the power of the purse. And this is a historical argument that the president has had with the Congress, that the legislature has with the governor, that we're having now, whether or not different legislative bodies have the power to direct what happens through appropriations. And this is a time-tested strategy by which legislative bodies control agencies by the power of the purse.
So I have some on-the-ground questions just to try to clarify that sort of day-to-day potential roles and responsibilities. When I seek advice from the city attorney, or any member of the city council seeks advice from the city attorney, it's covered under attorney-client privilege, correct?
Yes.
And does that attorney-client privilege extend to someone within another staffer within the city wanting to know what my conversation with you about bike boxes consisted of?
The way we operate with the council is we have a general understanding with the entire council that we can talk to individual council members confidentially. And so we can talk with any of you confidentially. The client is the city of Portland, and I believe PDC is part of the city of Portland. Therefore, other staff members besides council members, bureau directors, other people can also ask us legal advice, but that's not ordinarily kept confidential.
Go ahead.
One possibility to consider is whether that would make sense if this went forward to have the same agreement with the PDC commission, that they could seek advice confidentially as an interim measure. The idea of that is that while policies or ideas are being developed, they will be kept confidential, and then they will come forward whenever they're brought forward. So that would be one possibility.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. There's two other points that I think are important. One is that, I respect Commissioner Leonard's recitation of past problems, but also his recognition that those problems no longer exist. I understand his thinking that this is preventative in terms of future behavior on the part of the PDC, But it's also understood that the PDC appointment of the commission is recommended by the mayor and approved by the council. I think any changes to the future PDC board, that this would be one of those issues they would talk about. My concern is how this affects the morale of the PDC, is that from my perspective, this is a slap in the face of PDC. I don't think Commissioner Leonard meant that, but I think that's the effect. And so I'm concerned, and thank you, Linda. Unless there's some other question you might ask.
Yes, I have some questions.
Okay, excuse me. I just want to finish my point.
Yeah, please, please.
Is that, and I would at that like to talk about, are there other ways to solve this problem than through the creation of this particular resolution? And after Linda is done, I would like to have Bruce come up and talk about any other alternatives that could be made that would resolve the issue but not create this particular solution. Go ahead.
Thanks, Linda. Just a couple questions. I guess on a broader, I don't think it's going to happen, but if there was a major mistake, liability of PDC, would the city ultimately be responsible for that?
I think it may depend on what it is. PDC is a urban renewal agency under the statute, and there may be some limitations. I'd have to go back and look at this because I'm kind of speaking off the top of my head here. There may be some limitations on their liability. There may be other aspects where the city would be liable because they are created by the city charter as part of the city.
Okay. And I just want to, I think Commissioner Leonard, I do support the substance of what Commissioner Leonard is arguing after many years of working with PDC. And I also share the concern you just shared, and Randy and I have talked about it, that I believe that we have pushed this agency hard, and I believe it is now showing many of the characteristics that I think many of us have hoped it would have for many years. And I want to commend Bruce Warner and Chair Rosenbaum and the team on that. And so I'm really trying to look at ways to get at this. I do think historically attorneys at PDC have been used to not do things that the commission did not want to do. I think some of the legitimate policy disputes are amazing waste of time, and I think that's been an issue. I don't think that's the issue right now. I do, however, and I just wanted to check in with Linda, I probably do have a unique perspective as housing commissioner in this sense that I think I've probably worked, had, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, I've been housing commissioner for over a decade, so I think we've had over 100 times where I've had to mediate a dispute between the city attorney's office's view of how to set up, and these are minor stuff alone, and BHCDs. You know, and so I just think it does happen, you know, 6-10 times a year, and it just seems to me to burn a lot of time and energy, and I just can't figure out, and you can choose to comment on this or not, but I would like to have, you know, one lawyer who answers to, you know, who just decides what's legal rather than mediate those things, and because of the shared arrangements that, you know, so I think there's a macro issue, Mayor, but also I've seen it day in and day out. I mean, last one was the Grove Hotel. We had a dispute over how funds could be used, and we had to have the two attorneys literally, to some extent, negotiating with each other, and it just doesn't seem efficient to me. Do you have any thoughts on that?
We've worked very hard to not end up with dueling attorneys and dueling legal opinions because it's not helpful. And most of the time, we've been able to resolve those issues. I think we both try to cooperate with each other and work through those things so that we don't ultimately end up with dueling opinions. But sometimes it takes some effort.
But the other phenomenon I've seen, what I'm leading towards, Mayor, I just hope I'm being clear, is I would love to have some conversation about, is there other thoughts about how to address this? You know, particularly that I think Commissioner Leonard might be interested. I don't know if there are, you know, and if they're not, then we'll take a vote on this, you know, resolution, and we'll get where we get. But I'm interested in that topic. It does appear to me, and this was the one I know the least about how to fix, but I think might be something the policy boards could talk about, is that it does seem to me that historically, and it may be because of different motives at times, and it may be just different orientations, but what I've noticed time and time again is that your office gets asked a different question than the PDC attorney. I'll take the thing we did this morning, the satellite district. I asked your office how we could do it. Matt Baines issued an opinion on the potential dangers of it. I don't think either of you did different legal work. You later got to the dangers when Mayor Potter asked you that. But it was two completely different legal opinions. But I can tell you in the real world, it looked as if PDC thought it couldn't be done, and it looked as if PDC didn't want to do it. And I'm not quite sure that was what happened. And so I see all kinds of places, from the mundane, what's legal with PDC funds, to the dramatic, which I agree isn't going to happen in the near future, like, you know, the auditor can't look at your books. But there's also a middle ground, too, where different questions get asked of different attorneys. And I just think if both sets of questions were flowing to the same attorney, they would be in a lot better position to let the two sides figure out what they need. I mean, I don't think it has anything to do with the attorney particularly. I think if Matt Baines received my questions at the same time he received the PDC's commissions about the satellite district, she would have had an integrated response, and vice versa. I think if you would have been answering the PDC commission's questions, and I don't think the PDC commission was trying to be obstructive in asking the question differently than I asked it, but that's how it ended up coming across to some in the media, and then I had to backtrack and kind of, and so I actually think that in some ways the commission sometimes gets disturbed by the fact that dynamic happens. So again, I'm being a little long-winded here, and I don't think I actually just asked you a question. Maybe I did.
I'm hoping not.
Isn't that an eloquent statement on behalf of Commissioner Stinn?
Yeah. Did I speak in English? Is my question, yes.
No, it's definitely
true. Tell us what
true.
You heard.
Well, it's definitely true that what the question is makes a difference, and it's also true if the city has a direction, then our job is to try to help you get there in the best way we can. If there's questions about whether you want to go or if there's differences of opinion, then we try to give the best sort of straightforward legal advice so you can take the risks and weigh them. But it obviously matters what the question is and where it looks like people want to go.
And I think we need to be honest. It also matters who asks. One of my frustrations on the legal front as it relates to PDC is with an earlier commission and an earlier administration at PDC where overnight the legal determination from PDC was that program funds could no longer be used for anything other than to address blight. Before that, program funds had a much more discretionary use to them, right or wrong, and then overnight there was no change in state law, there was no change in local laws, it was the leaders that be wanted to move in a different direction, and the attorneys, acting on behalf of their clients, helped them get there. It was not a policy discussion at council. I'm not even aware that it was a policy discussion at the various URAC. So there has been, I have had frustration with some of the same issues that have been discussed here by the city council.
Was that a question?
No, that was a statement, but wasn't it a good statement, Linda?
They were all good statements.
You want a legal?
Oh. very nicely done.
And that's why you're the city attorney.
Good politician, too.
I'd also like to ask Bruce Warner to step forward. Ask him a question. Bruce, it's my understanding that you have made a couple of suggestions about how ways in which the PDC attorneys can be more responsive to council. Could you describe some of those recommendations and what you think they would do to resolve this?
I'd be pleased to, Mr. Mayor and councilors. First off, I really appreciate the discussion. I think that the dialogue you just had really does get at many of the issues, and I think the city attorney was right on in terms of the issues and the ability to work to get the right question in front of everybody so you know what you're answering and where you want to go with that. I just want to also say, again, based on the comments you made, Mayor, about my legal staff, they are really good. They've done a great job, and I'm really pleased to hear the council acknowledge that. I also want to make clear they provide legal opinions to the board and me, and it's up to to me and the board to act on those. And so placing any of this blame, all this blame at the legal department's feet, I think is ill-placed. So again, some of the things that we've done over the last couple of years to really address some of those issues, I think hopefully get at some of the root things that you've identified here. And I hope, and I'm realizing now from listening to the discussion, that there are some real differences that you see in the way the agency works, and I'm very pleased that you acknowledge that. So in terms of the proposals, I did talk with Commissioner Leonard about a proposal, which he rejected. It doesn't go as far as he's outlined here. But I think we do have an opportunity, and I want to stress to you that Matt Baines is going to be retiring here in another month after 28 years of public service, and we're going to miss Matt. But what I had suggested is that we have a process to move forward to hire a new PDC general counsel, where I initiate the process, hire a new legal counsel, but we do it with a board comprised of my board, the city attorney, and if the council so desires, one of the members of the council or their designee could be a member of that committee. The other thing that I wanted to suggest, I think this is it gets back to the issue in terms of the collaboration, how we make sure we're really working together, is that I want to make it clear as part of this new hire that there will be some new performance expectations for this new legal counsel that require increased collaboration and coordination with the city attorney. And I would also hope that the city council would give the same kind of direction to the city attorney in terms of how we work together. And this increased coordination, I think what I'd be looking at is some regular meetings, it may be monthly or bi-monthly meetings of the PDC general counsel, the city attorney, and maybe the staffs working on various projects. But the intent would be that if these meetings result in differing opinions, first off, hopefully we'd understand through these meetings what the actual question was to make sure we're all answering the same question, that on those issues that are important to the city council and the PDC board, it'd be the expectation that these two parties work together to come up with one opinion that really addresses those issues. And further, what I would suggest that if no resolution is forthcoming, that this is an opportunity where they both present those issues to both parties right up front, so we can have a dialogue and get to the meat of the issues and make sure we're all in agreement with the questions and the answers we're looking for. And then what I think is even more important is I believe that the PDC general counsel and the city attorney ought to, as part of this collaboration and coordination process, issue some regular reports, maybe every 6 months, identify those areas where they've collaborated, identify those issues where they disagree, and talk about where they disagreed, for what reasons, for why not. And then at the end of the year, maybe December, before the budget process begins next year, we take a look at those collectively in terms of the performance. And it would be my expectation that the city attorney, myself, the PDC general counsel would talk about the issues there. And if there's real issues that need to be addressed, we bring those forward to the board and to the city council. And we look at other options that we would be, and I would commit to you to come up with recommendations if indeed those reports show that we still need to do further collaboration and coordination. But I agree with you, Commissioner Leonard, that while I'm here and while you're here, I don't think that's going to be a problem again. But I want to create a systematic and routinized process to assure that that doesn't happen again. And the other comment I'd make is I believe this is what we were looking at to have some further discussion as the City Council sits as PDC's Budget Committee for the first time in early May. So that's a long answer, Mr. Mayor, but I hope it was responsive.
Do you mind if I, Bruce and I did talk about that, and I'd like to give my reason that I didn't agree to that suggestion by Bruce. And I first want to make clear that this has been these discussions Bruce and I have had, that Mark Rosenbaum and I have had, Keith and I have had, and a number of people have been collegial, not adversarial, and the very same tone that we're having here today, which I want to again reiterate and recognize. I greatly appreciate, and I also again want to acknowledge with you here that you've led these changes, Bruce, and I greatly appreciate it, and I acknowledge that. I haven't always thought that you were doing it the way that I thought you should do it, but I think in the end, I think you're right. I think that your approach is better at times in specific things that you've done than maybe what I would have preferred you to do initially. So I appreciate your leadership and your style. The reason that that I couldn't agree with that recommendation is because it really misses the point. It assumes that there's a communication problem between the council and the PDC or the legal team, and it assumes that if we meet regularly and discuss, it will avoid future problems. That's not the problem. Again, I totally agree with Bruce and the mayor. The legal staff up there is first rate. There's nothing wrong with what they do. There's nothing you have to explain to me that I need to understand better. I understand why they give you the opinions they do. I understand why, and I understand your responsibility once you get that and how you implement those opinions. And as long as we have a structure that creates legal advice within the current system, it is inevitable that these conflicts arise, no matter how much we talk, no matter how much we communicate, no matter how much future councils communicate. And to be clear, I don't expect if this passes and you have legal advice from the city attorney's office, for me always to be in agreement with what that advice is that you're given. You are still their client. In many ways, it creates less opportunity for us to complain about what you're being advised to because you're going to be advised from the same office that we're advised from. What I do think it does is avoid the unnecessary conflicts. So I guess that was my last point was saying that some of the concerns that Commissioner Sten has, that I don't deal with at the level he does on a day-to-day basis, may not be fixed by this. You may still get the exact same advice that you got from a private the private attorneys that you have now. What I'm hoping to avoid are these huge public relations battles over whether or not Gary Blackmer can audit your books, over whether or not we can look at documents. Those are the huge distractors that I see that I predict will inevitably happen again in the future that this change, I am convinced, will prevent. Not those day-to-day kinds of legal advice that you get. I would expect you to get the same kind of advice. And if we all of a sudden agreed with everything that your attorneys were telling you, I would actually consider another offer you gave to me privately that you didn't talk about. Let's see how it works for a year and revert back if it doesn't work. I would be open to that because that's not what I want. I want your advice to be objective. I want it to be edgy, and I want it to serve your best interests. My bigger point is that I don't think that it does right now because of the construction of how you hire an attorney. And I think because of that, it's inevitable for it to happen again.
Other questions of Bruce? Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a sign-up sheet.
We did, and no one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to address this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
I'm going to support this resolution. I would like for there to be the perception and reality of a win-win here. So I'd like the negotiation to commence and to come up with an agreement that, to the best of the collective ability, addresses any potential concerns or pitfalls that might occur with this. I think that PDC's ability to have confidential advice during the formulation phase of policies or operations or management issues, I think, is during the formulation phase is important. But I also think having the consistency when that formulation leads to actual policy or direction, that the consistency is a very a good, strong, positive potential upside. I think as we look at this, though, I'd also, if not in the same specific time frame as we look at this issue with PDC, phase two would be then to also come up with similar procedures for FPDNR, which operates under a similar approach that is called for in this resolution for PDC, so that we're treating everyone fairly. And I look forward to the sides getting together and coming up with something that hopefully meets the concerns and our best hopes for at least the large ones for this resolution. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm going to oppose the resolution. I think that the city charter clearly states the PDC has its right to have its own legal counsel. I don't think that's trumped by the provision of the charter that sets us up as a budget commission. What I think it does set us up for instead is to become dysfunctional like Congress and the legislature often are with their executive branches. We don't agree with your policy, so we're going to try to withhold the money. And those, you know, talk about fruitless debates. Those are the classic epitome of fruitless debates about doing those types of things. They skirt the issues. PDC is a complicated agency. Its board of directors and its director, I think, deserve their own legal counsel. So we have clashes. Those clashes get worked out. You know, right now is an apex of good working relationships. I do worry about the impact of this move on morale. And like I said, I just don't think, you know, aspiring to have the type of withholding of funds battles that legislatures and Congress have with the executive branch is anything really to want to emulate. And I think this is exactly what that will do. So I vote no.
Stan.
Well, I do, as I said, you know, believe this is a very hard push, and it may be pushing PDC more than is perfect. I also, the reality is it's in front of us, and Commissioner Leonard has made the proposal. And my concerns about the competing legal departments and what I believe actually structurally blocks some of our collaboration. I mean, I think it actually, the way it inevitably happens when you have two different opinions given on the same thing, it just inevitably leads to problems where some don't necessarily need to exist. And I think it also does tend to lead towards, and this will come up probably in debates later today on issues, you know, perception of motives that may or may not be there. You know, and when you perceive that somebody is trying to be obstructionist, it leads to a whole psychology that is often insurmountable. So given that I do support the substance, I'm going to support this piece. I do recognize this is a 3-2 vote with the commissioner in charge of PDC not in support. So, you know, this is hardly a mandate that won't continue to be debated. And so I think what this probably in the real world becomes is a very strong signal that, you know, the majority of council would like to see this resolve. But I hope as has been talked about today, it considers to be some conversation on how to pull it off. While I do appreciate Executive Director Warner's offer, and I think it was a good one, I think, you know, I was looking for something which may not exist, which is, I'm not saying you did not put it forward, that was somewhere in between the full text of this resolution and ability to consult on a hire. You know, because I do see a structural problem that I think is causing historical, I think it causes friction right now when everybody's working together, and has been used without any doubt in my mind by other executive directors and commissioners to literally say to the council, no, we're not going to do what you want us to do. That has nothing to do with today's age, but it's not ancient history. It's when I was on the council. Want to keep working on this. I think there is room to keep working on it, but given the choice of a yes-no vote on this resolution, and given that I fully agree with the substance of Commissioner Leonard's analysis, and my only concern at this point is trying to come up with a workable implementation strategy, and I think that's a real concern, as the mayor outlined, and should be a concern, and I hear what Commissioner Saltzman is saying on that front, but I would vote aye.
Potter.
I've stated my reasons why I'm concerned about this. I think it's contrary to the city charter provision. I think that it impairs the morale of the PDC, and I think there are other ways to arrive at the very same thing other than taking this very strong action. So I'm sorry that it came to this, but I sincerely and strongly believe that this is not the appropriate thing to do show the PDC that we have appreciated and valued what they've done to date. But I do, and I want to thank the PDC for their efforts, and I vote no. Please read item 334.
Amend contract with Scott Edwards Architecture LLP to provide additional architectural and engineering services for the Police Bureau and Evidence Storage Warehouse.
So second reading, call the vote.
Adam, Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 335.
amend contract with Michael Willis Architects to provide additional architectural services for Justice Center remodeling and Portland Office of Emergency Management Emergency Operations Center emergency operations projects.
Second reading, call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Aye.
Did you hear the fifth vote? Please read item 335-1.
Direct auditor to treat July 15, 2008 special runoff election as general election for purpose of Code Chapter 2.10.
Today I'm asking the council to reconsider an ordinance passed last week, item 319, directing the auditor to treat the July 15, 2008 special election as a general election for the purpose of the campaign finance fund. A consequence of the ordinance that was passed is that a publicly financed candidate advancing from the primary on May 20th to a special election on July 15th would be eligible for $200,000 from the campaign finance fund for a campaign lasting less than 2 months. The $200,000 is the same amount of money given to publicly financed candidates advancing from a primary to a general election in November with a campaign lasting almost 6 months. The same amount of money for a campaign lasting almost as three times as long. As a council, we must do what is fiscally responsible and fair to all candidates in city elections. And I believe the council has unintentionally passed something that is neither. The campaign finance fund was intended to level the playing field. In the interest of fairness to other publicly owned, financed candidates in other races, I don't believe we can provide a greater level of funding to one candidate while forcing the other to use the same amount of resources for a longer period of time. I've heard from some in the community that reconsidering this ordinance is changing the rules midstream. However, the runoff election, if there is one, hasn't even begun. Also, in that regard, we did pass a number of changes to the voter-owned election recently, and that was not claimed as midstream. I have heard that this additional money is needed to introduce a candidate to a very compressed time period. The candidate will have already spent $150,000 of voter-owned election funds introducing himself to the community. I've heard the criticism that we are somehow favoring candidates who take private financing. I don't see that as possible since VOE will still receive dollar-for-dollar matching funds. Worked with Commissioner Leonard to come up with a new ordinance that would distribute an amount of money from the campaign finance fund proportional to the time period between the primary and the date of the special election. For me, this isn't about a candidate so much as a system that I want to see succeed. And I want to make sure that its success is founded in its principles, and that principles of leveling the playing field for all candidates. And I see that this has a potential harm to that particular election. So first, I'd like the council to discuss the reconsideration, and I'd...
Okay, I guess, yeah, I would like to open this up for some discussion. And I think this is going to be a little bit of a tricky discussion, and I want to start out by saying I think there's a good argument that's been made that there should be a lesser amount of money for the special election. I guess I would like a little more explanation, and I'd be happy to, you know, take a vote on reconsideration and reconsider this. I mean, I'm not arguing against reconsideration, but I guess, you know, I'd like to hear a little more explanation how you jump from 200,000 to 66 in terms of what's a reasonable, and I'd like a little more explanation of why, Mayor, you would consider this an adequate process to make that decision. I will probably, and I want to lay this out very clearly, abstain from the final vote on this. It's a race for my seat and a special election I collected, and the person who will get a far different amount of money than I think what would reasonably be implied by the council's earlier action. And the council's earlier action at Commissioner Leonard's urging, which I support, was do not make any substantive changes to the special election. And so what's being called duplicitous by Auditor Blackmer was an ordinance that said treat special election as regular election. which I think is the only logical analysis that could come out of Commissioner Leonard's point of view. There was a solid, solid argument that maybe candidates should be allowed to consider to switch from to the other open seat. That was shot down on the idea, let's keep this clean. There was an argument, maybe we should give a little more time. No. I would say both of those decisions favored privately funded candidates because there's very little time to qualify. So I think it was reasonable for those who went to qualify to think that it would be treated as a regular election. And while I think kind of, you know, we're learning as we go, making this argument as you're making it now is reasonable, and I'm actually open to personally supporting it. I think the range of reasonableness, you've picked the lowest possible number one could reasonably argue for, based on what I consider a somewhat weak argument. The idea that you spend the equal amount of money during a campaign each month is just not true. You spend 80% of your money, as all of you did, as I can show from your records, in the last 5 weeks of a campaign. So to say an 8-week campaign should cost a third of what a 24-week campaign costs just doesn't hold up to spending patterns or anything else. And the decision to propose $66,000, as I understand it, was debated, Mayor, between your office, led by Austin Raglione, who was very upset when somebody said she might have a political motive, and I don't think she does. But it has the appearance of a political motive when your chief of staff, who has endorsed Nick Fish, and Commissioner Leonard meet over the weekend by phone or however.
I did not. That's not true.
All I know is this issue was not raised to me on Thursday or Friday. On Monday, there was a joint proposal by your offices at $66,000. And all I'm simply arguing with this is that if you want to avoid the perception that this is set up to favor politics, you need some process. There needs to be an ample opportunity for people to debate what the numbers should be. I'll stipulate to the premise that it should be less money, but the idea that your offices over the weekend go from 200,000, which is the reasonable piece, to 66, I think it stinks.
That's not accurate, and given that you've characterized my prior remarks about not changing anything, I do feel responsible to
change. I'm opening it up to discussion. I'm not.
Okay. Let's talk about the process part first, before I get into the remarks about whether or not I thought that the system should be tweaked for the upcoming election. Last Wednesday, we had presented to us an ordinance that made reference, and this is my characterization, to an obscure citation of the code that, quite frankly, I know sitting here now that four of us on the council did not understand the implications of. So in terms of process, I am deeply disappointed, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody because there was a number of people that could have illuminated what that effect was going to be to us here last Wednesday. A number of people could have illuminated. Council, when you're voting on this, understand that what you're voting on is allowing $200,000 for a voter-owned election candidate for the July 15th runoff. That was not made clear to any of us. As far as perceptions go, you have a perception, and I understand it, that you think that some of us may be motivated politically by taking this action. Well, there's a perception also that because your chief of staff was the one that was going to benefit from that, you decided not to make that clear to us last week. I don't necessarily think
true. Wait a minute. Did I file this?
I didn't say you filed it. I said there was a number of people, and I'm not even
you're
pointing.
You're saying it was my job to get you to understand?
Yes.
Gary Blackmer's?
Yes, I do.
Why would that be my job?
Well, not just yours. I want to be clear. Not just yours. I've said this to Auditor Blackmer, told him that I'm not pointing the finger at you, Commissioner. I actually said.
You just pointed the finger. You said I had a chance to explain to you, what an ordinance you voted on did.
Yes, you and Commissioner, and if you'll let me finish, I'll explain why. You, Auditor Blackmer, the proponents of the system, had an inherent responsibility, in my view, and particularly in the context of the concerns that have been raised about not only the structure of voter-owned elections, but the administration of voter-owned elections and some of the recent decisions. You had a particular responsibility to be as transparent and, if anything, defaulting to explaining to a very specific detail what it was we were voting on. As a result, when I learned of this on Friday, I felt like I was misled. And again, I'm not pointing that at you. I actually wrote an email to the auditor where I told him that I felt misled by the presentation last week because it did not include that. So I'm not pointing it at one finger. I'm just saying the proponents who understood this had a special obligation, in my opinion, to come up and explain that to us.
Well, so, I have this weird feeling that people who vote on things should have an obligation to look into them. And I guess my question would be...
That's not how we do things.
What I'm proposing is that we just have a process. Okay. to do this.
Okay.
I didn't get a phone call, an email. It was my job to tell you what the thing meant, but yet you didn't take the time over the weekend to let me know what you were going to
do. And therein,
so we needed some process here. And I'm going to abstain from this vote. I am not going to decide it.
And therein is the Achilles heel to this system, that you, that the proponents of it somehow think that it is up to all of us to read every line and every detail and understand every nuance of every decision that's made for it. These are taxpayer dollars that are being used to promote candidates for office. They are not private funds to be bequeathed to anybody for a purpose that isn't thoroughly, clearly aired in a public forum. This is
so
the
Commissioner, let me finish here.
This is the point. Let me finish. I don't interrupt you.